Don't they call him Mr. Saturday Night now?
I believe that's his nickname now, yeah.
Yeah, Trevor Amon is Mr. Saturday Night.
Welcome, Sacramento soccer fans, to the State of the Republic podcast. I'm your host, Luis, and I finally have my microphone again. All is good. I'm back home now. And today we're going to be talking about our game on Saturday. An amazing 2-0 win at Orange County, which puts us back at first place in the West. Still 3 points away from overall first, but that's all right. No worries. We want to be first in the West because that's where it counts for us right now. And what better than to get the win against Orange County? Because if we tie in points at the end of the season, we get the tiebreaker because we won on Saturday. So good job, guys. They really took it to heart, and we'll be talking about the goals and all else that happened in this game, of course. Also, we're going to be talking about Open Cup, who is our rival, how did some teams do in the previous round. There's some really good games as well, and even better games that are going to be in the round of 32, which will be happening next month, actually really probably in like, 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now. So we're really excited about that. And also, of course, podcast winner dinner. I know you guys don't want to talk about it, as has been the case in recent weeks. But hey, we got to talk about it. But yeah, it should be a good one. We'll see.
Hey, you're dragging that one out too much because I hear the gloat in your voice.
Yeah, I know. It's a good feeling. But I can't. There's the bonus point thing. So just, yeah. I'll keep quiet on that. So let's go ahead and introduce. You already heard her, Sharon. And we also got Jared, who is still in Arizona for just a few more days. So we can still call him our Arizona member for now until he moves to Texas here shortly. But let's go over to Elk Grove first with you, Sharon. How's it going?
It's going really good. It's a wonderful Monday. It feels like a Friday because I'm a retired person. I looked at my calendar this week. And I got nothing but fun things looking at me, you know, fun things to go do, places to be, dinners to attend, all of that. And it's all good. Earlier when you had mentioned, you know, that we won over the weekend and blah, 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 I thought I heard in the background a ton of cheering and, you know, yelling and screaming and glee and joy. I thought I heard that in the background. So, yeah. Yay. It's all good. Jared.
Well, it is officially no longer not summer here in Arizona. We've hit back-to-back 100s today and yesterday, but other than that, it's doing pretty good. The residency here has been extended a few days, unfortunately, or fortunately, but either way, still give me a chance to celebrate the win this past Saturday. Great 2-0 win, and now it's on to our next match, and then for the first time ever since 2014, missing out on a Republic FC match here in Arizona. But, you know, I'm not upset about it or anything like that. We'll just worry about this week.
Yeah, if only your stay could be extended for another 2 weeks, right? It's like, could there be a delay so we could be there? But either way, I'm sure we're going to have fans out there in Arizona because it's really close by. There's direct flights from Sac to Phoenix. So, I mean, it's an easy blight also, right? It's like you're there in an hour. So if anyone wants to go to the game, get ready for that. It's going to be in 2 weeks on May 4th, which they might even be doing a Star Wars celebration, I'm assuming, because it's May 4th and you got to celebrate Star Wars, right?
You don't gotta, but they might, but it's not Las Vegas. It's Phoenix. And so though, who knows? I mean, it'll be stinking hot. If it's already 100 and you've had 2 days of 100 degree weather, like, who wants to go roast in their own juices? No, I don't.
But wearing a Darth Vader outfit, too, imagine that?
Yeah, oh, right. Yeah. Not wearing a stormtrooper white.
Yeah. White. Yeah, you're going to be seeing more stormtroopers than Vader outfits. That's my guess.
And you know what? You're probably not going to see any of that. You're going to see women in crop tops and men in shorts. But not just crop tops. I mean, they'll have shorts on, too. But, yeah. Hey everybody, it's time for Galazes of Gratitude, where we take a minute and sound off our gratitude for something that's happened in our lives or something about soccer. It's an open field. Golazos of gratitude. Here we go.
Yeah. So on my golazo of gratitude, you know, always you guys, always our chat, because our chat group that keeps us on our toes. You know, if you can't be at the game, you can watch the chat. And I think this past weekend, a lot of people were, and I have to thank Chris. Chris went to Sky River Casino. They weren't officially hosting a Soccer Republic watch party, but they had apparently the game on the big screen. So thank you, Chris, for testing the waters of an away game that wasn't an official watch party. And it was still a lot of fun for them. And they still had the drink specials, you know, the specialty drinks for Sac Republic fans. Well, you can drink them anytime. It doesn't matter. Got to give her props. Got to give the city of Elk Grove some props, some love, because today they hosted a annual thank you volunteer recognition award, whatever awards, and like a small banquet. So it was lovely to be there, lovely to see the mayor and some of the city council members, and to see all the other people who volunteer get recognized, you know, and y'all know that I love volunteering. I'm a big volunteer for different things, but it was a wonderful event. And then also Earth Day, you know, we have these incredible celebrations. People, you know, celebrate here or there over the weekend. On Saturday and Sunday, there were two massive cleanups that I participated in. But the volunteers that came out were just blew our mind, because we had a ton of young people, little kids, you know, ages from 5 all the way up to whatever, 14 teenagers came out with their parents. And I mean, we had two huge crowds on Saturday and Sunday. And I got to give thanks to everybody who honored the planet, even for just 2 days. But as we all know, Earth Day is every day. So on that note, I'll kick it over to Jared for his door.
All right. Well, with the, given this past week, I do want to give, well, last week, I should say, I do want to give a big glasses of gratitude to Maricopa County, clerk of the Superior Court, as well as U.S. Postal Service in downtown Phoenix. They were big help in paperwork I need to get done, especially the retail clerk at the post office, very patient with me with getting my postage done and everything like that for something I haven't had to do before. So thank you very, very much to y'all. Y'all do a great job. I appreciate it. Also, glasses of gratitude to Fry's, who have been helping me stay fed last couple of days, especially after this past weekend, which also with some of these amazing apple cinnamon soft top cookies, which are basically my new addiction. So please, please, please get me out of Arizona before I end up gaining a few more pounds with those cookies. Also, glasses of gratitude to Spinelli's Pizza out in Tempe, which, by the way, they still have the State of the Republic sticker underneath the stairs of the beam. I got a picture of it. And also being a good spot where I could hunker down for a little bit, have a couple of their humongous slices while I watch the last bits of the game and end up celebrating a win there. And of course, also to the chat for keeping everybody up to date, you know, keeping tabs on the game. I mean, that's the big ones I've got for right now. If any more come across, I'll be sure to bring it up later. Luis, how about you?
I got a few here. So first one goes out to my girlfriend and the rest of the Stockton Earth Day committee, because they put together quite an awesome Earth Day festival yesterday. And I was able to volunteer for them more in the latter months here in the past month or two. And I look forward to helping them out more next year. But awesome event. They've been doing this for 35 years already. So if you're in Stockton or you live close to Stockton, then highly recommend that you come by the next Earth Day and check it out. There's a lot of vendors, a lot of different festivities going on. And it's just a lot of work that gets done behind the scenes and even more so on the day of. So shout out to them. And also to everyone else, like Sharon said, there's some Elk Grove festivities going on as well. So just everyone in your communities who's doing something for Earth Day, really great to see all that and to see all the efforts that people are putting, right, to make sure that we help our planet out. That is in much need, of course, every day. Also, another one goes out to Telemundo 33, Alejandra from that channel. Also, Lucas from the K1 radio station for actually giving me the platform to be able to talk about the Earth Day Festival. And also, my girlfriend was able to be on Telemundo, so thank you to both of them, because it's really awesome when you're able to get some media coverage of that and invite people to attend the event. So that really meant a lot. And another one goes out to Coach Briggs for taking the game seriously, and also to the team itself and making sure that we got the win. I mean, we get the first goal in literally 16 seconds of the game, and you knew that the players knew that this was an important game. And I said it in the last podcast, and I'm glad that they delivered on that, because we might be tied in points with Orange County at the end of the season. And the last thing we want is to regret not getting any wins against them, right? So this puts us at a good spot. We still should worry about goal differential, because you still might tie against other teams. But at the very least, we took care of OC there. And not just that, right? But maybe gotten some payback for last year's, you know, return to our Chuck Hughes Stadium, right? Which was painful to see that happening. So glad that went on. And also not just that, but the first game of the season, getting the extra time that shouldn't have been given. I mean, it was tough. So all those things added on, I'm sure, motivated the team to get the win in OC. So yeah, that's all I got.
So speaking of Alicia, you have no idea how easy it is for me to understand her dialect. I know I sent you a message, but I got to give a gloss of gratitude to her. I don't know what dialect she speaks, but when she speaks Spanish, I can actually understand her easier than pretty much anybody else who with roots in Mexico. So otherwise, I have to really listen hard or ask everybody to slow down. Maybe it's because she does speak a little slower that I understand her. Do you think that's it, Luis?
I think that's it, because I could speak really quick. So that's maybe why you don't understand me, maybe. Or especially if I'm talking to others, which I know you've seen me talk to Keiko in Spanish and all that. And it's like, yeah, we can go quick.
Well, so speaking of Keiko, his wife also speaks slowly and she enunciates every single word. And it's much easier for me to understand her. Like I was even involved in a conversation where they were talking about how they own property in Spain and that they rent it out, and how the renters treat the properties because it's not their own. And, you know, and it's like, oh my gosh, I understood all that, you know, because they were literally kind of like sniping about, you know, renters kind of a thing. It was like, ah, I understood. Anyhow, you're looking at things, you're moving us ahead. We did glasses of gratitude. You thank the coach for taking the game seriously and the players. And you know what? I have to agree 100% with that assessment. And oh, so the officials for this match, I was prepared for the worst. This official has not been as kind to us when he's officiated on our turf, on our home field. But here in Orange County, I think he was brutally fair, but for both sides. What did you guys think of this official? Right now we're looking at a still shot of the official.
Well, I mean, thankfully it wasn't a yellow upon yellow the first 5 minutes like last week. So I'm definitely thankful for that. But no, I mean, the officiating, I mean, although, you know, it was kind of rough for both sides, you know, at least it was down the line more or less. So, we hardly get any of those matches. It's either we're getting drugged through the mud or maybe not as much, but this one was actually straight down the line. I'll say for a change.
Yeah, thankfully, even though there are quite a few cards shown, you know, that's how it is, right? You have some games where more cards are shown. Luckily, no red was thrown out there because, yeah, you know, the situation with those, especially when they're not reds. But I think our players have been a lot better, right? I mean, I know we've only had a few games this season, but I think they understand, right? Like, you got to be careful. If you have a yellow already, like, just watch what you do. Don't be put in that situation where we're down a man and then it's all tough for us from there on.
But I didn't notice the official in this game as much as I noticed him during the rain game. I mean, it was like during the rain game, it was all the official. I shouldn't say rain. It was wet field. It was kind of rainy. But during that match, I noticed the official. This match, I noticed the play. And I was able to watch the players build their play, you know, work on, you know, their strategy, so to speak. But I didn't notice the officials as much, you know, unless they were needed. So I don't know. That was one of the, it was, I have to sing this guy's praise. Now, John May disagree with me, you know, but, and Luis, you were laughing when I was initially saying that. So I don't know if you agree or disagree, but it doesn't matter. You know, I just thought that this guy was, he was decent, probably because we won. I don't know. Anytime you win, everything was, you know, the beer, the flat beer tasted bubbly. I don't know, whatever.
I was actually laughing at the frame that I, like, didn't even mean to add of the ref, right? I mean, I just paused it. And then as we're talking about it, I was like, oh, it looks like
he's scared.
It looks as if, like, he's putting his arm around, like, Casper the ghost or something, right. And being like, take a picture of me and Casper.
Not
intentional. It just, I paused it in that frame.
Well, what's funny is he's got his whistle in his mouth, which is not common for them running. And he's got his arm out. So I don't know if he was calling a foul at that point or not. I mean, this was only, I don't see a time clock. Anyhow.
No, the time hadn't officially started too. It's just the pose that the referee has. If anyone wants to see that pose, like, pause it at the 6th second of the highlights video on YouTube and you'll see what we're talking about.
Okay. Got it.
It's just one of those funny pause moments.
That, or maybe it's just a photo op with John Cena. Could be either way.
It could be. That's a good pose to then Photoshop someone, right? Because he has his arm as if he's got his arm around someone. Shout out to the front office, OC, because they actually got a jersey autographed by the entire team and put Roman, Roro's son, they put his name in the back, right? And if you guys haven't heard already, situation with Roman, he's in need of surgery, right? Which I believe will be happening next month.
Yeah,
I believe. And so,
May 15th.
Correct me if I'm wrong, it's heart surgery, right? Or something related to the heart. So with that, like, that news has been, like, spread around the entire country. I mean, when they did the Open Cup draw, they were aware of it too. And, you know, one bonus Golazo of gratitude actually to Luis Felipe, who was the one who initiated the GoFundMe campaign. Without Roro knowing, of course, the next morning, everyone knew what had happened and all that. So just really awesome to see teammates who do that for other teammates. It's just amazing, too. So that just goes to show you the great team culture that we have going on. And I'm really glad to see all the community rally around the cause and helping that out. For OC to do it, too, I mean, hats off to them, right? Because, like, you never expect a rival to do that, let alone when they lose as well, because they lost. So just great team, great organization. I just wish that they would get more people in the stands, right? It was another game that looked like the game that I went to at one time. And I don't know, but hopefully just they could do more outreach. Games are fun there. It's a good venue. So hopefully, and they have a good team too, right? It's like,
oh my gosh,
you can't go
why
wrong.
Why would you go? Why would not you go to a game there? Is it too close to Carson? You know, with the LA Galaxy, or did you spend all your money on LAFC, you know, which is just up the road a little bit? So, you know, it's kind of like, no, USL championship level squad, they're awesome. So, you know, go. I know Orange County people aren't listening. And you were on the podcast for the Orange and Black, Jared, and I didn't get a chance to listen to it. Did you guys talk about anything like that at all?
Well, we did talk about the rivalry, of course, and you know, I did make mention as far as, you know, the fact that we try to score early, which
we took that note down.
Apparently, the club listened. But chatting with the folks with Orange and Black, you know, it was definitely a fun time. We talked about the predictions for the match. There were actually at least one, maybe two, that had us winning over Orange County, so that was kind of a bit of a shocker. So next time I appear, I'm going to have to send them some brisket from Gregg County, or maybe go over to Dallas Fort Worth and send them a 6-pack of Adios Pantalones. Who knows? But no, it was, you know, a cool group of folks there. You know, definitely passionate about Orange County. But yeah, I don't think anyone really legitimately saw, first of all, that we would be winning 2-0, but also the fact that we scored 16 seconds into the match, which is now a club record and at least a record for this season for the league in general. But
yeah,
I mean, if any other clubs are wanting to chat, you know, have either of us on the podcast, you know, just let us know, or, you know, more likely I might have a little bit more availability, but you know, the doors are open to our other podcasts, you know, to our fellow USL Championship fan-based podcasts. Just let us know.
You know, it's interesting what you said, and I don't know, Luis wants to say something too, but it's interesting what you said when they thought that we would win and we thought they would win or we would tie. It just goes to show you how much respect the fans have for the other side, you know, because we know what each team is capable of, and they feared us just as much as we feared them as fans. So I love that when fans have that kind of respect. And then our squad just went, yeah, we respect him, but we're going to trounce on him. And we did it. Woo-hoo! And a shout out, Danny Vidiolo, goose egg.
One more. Yeah. Just, hey, he's trying to get the Golden Glove again, or trying to keep it. Don't take it away from him. He's trying to build a collection there. But, you know, I think just to add to that, even more respect when you predict that your team is going to lose at home, right? Like for us, it was like, okay, an away match makes more sense, right? But to say that, I think we're going to lose at home, right? That takes a lot for sure. Well, let's go ahead and talk about this game even more. I think it might be the first time that whenever we start looking at the highlights, literally the first thing that we see is a goal of ours. And as Jared referred to it earlier, like this is a historic goal for us. 16 seconds. I mean, not just us, right? But just looking at it worldwide, like how often do you see a team score in less than 20 seconds? I mean, to do that, you have to have a play like already visualized. You have to have everyone concentrated right when the referee blows the whistle. And that's exactly what happened here, right?
It was a broken play. Orange County was just generating their attack. They were generating the attack from the back. Roro saw the opportunity to intercept the ball, even though, you know, the ball essentially is being placed forward for us. And Orange County recovered it. And then Roro was like, oh, no, you are not going to pass it to anybody but me.
I want to give credit, or a lot of the credit, to Nick Ross, right? Because he's the one that, like, gets the ball back. He sees Luis Felipe open. He passes it on over to him, right? He knows that, again, they're just trying to go forward, right? They're not trying to just have two guys up front. They're trying to have more a team and just get to scoring real early, because we know in OC, it's difficult. If you don't score early, they could score on you, and before you know, you might be down 2-0. So he did just that. Luis Felipe goes for it, and he manages to recover the ball there and then sees Roro open. Roro gets into a spot to put the cross. And we know, aside from Jack, Roro is also an assist leader. In fact, he's the historic assist leader in the Open Cup. And I think that's why he also got named division after him, which we'll be talking about here later on. He crosses the ball, sees who else but Trevor Amon actually right there open. And in classic Trevor style, headering the ball. I mean, he gets the goal there. Fifth goal of the season. Hey, the guy's on it, right? I mean, we know he had that dry spell for a game or two, but now he's back at it, right? Scoring consecutively in two games, and hopefully he keeps scoring.
Don't they call him Mr. Saturday Night now?
I believe that's his nickname now. Yeah.
Yeah. Trevor Amon is Mr. Saturday Night.
Okay. There you go. Mr. Saturday Night. He's making it happen. Now, if he is Mr. Saturday Night, we got to watch out for that game on Sunday, because we do have one game on Sunday in the season, I believe. So there might have to be an exception made on that weekend.
Yeah. So that was the broken play that Roro. Was that a pass back from Luis Felipe? I, for some reason, kept thinking it was a broken play, but it wasn't. It was a broken play. It was Roro intercepting a broken play. That's what I saw. It was Orange County had picked up the ball from Nick Ross's, you know, when he clumped it up the field, and Orange County picked it up and they were trying to restart the game right there. They were trying to restart the game, and Roro seized the opportunity. That's the broken play I keep talking about. Ro knew his speed. He knew he could get to the ball before the intended receiver of the ball, the midfielder that was receiving the pass. And Roro knew that the guy wasn't making an effort to go to the ball. You know, the things that I keep talking about, framing the goal, go to the pass, follow the shot, all of those things, they're basic things. You don't wait for the ball to get to you when it's on the ground or when it's in the middle of the air, not high. you know, you go to the ball where it's going to be so that you're not beat by the other team. Orange County did a classic rookie mistake by not going to the ball. And Burrow was like, I got this. That's the broken play that got us this goal.
I was struggling to get ESPN Plus running, and all of a sudden I see our chats just going off. Oh my God, Burrow scored a goal. Everything like that. It's like, I look at the time. Wait, what are y'all talking about? It's only like not even a couple minutes into the match. And then I pull up ESPN and I actually have to rewind to actually see what everyone's hubbubbing about. And then all of a sudden I see the game clock there in Irvine barely going into the seconds, 12, 13, 14, 15. And then boom, you know, Trevor hits it. I mean, it probably took less time for me to start celebrating a holiday than for this goal to be scored.
There's so many more times. There's so many more things that take more time than this goal. To even putting something in the microwave, right? Who puts something for less than 20 seconds?
Bread. Bread. Bread is the only thing you can put in the microwave for less than 20 seconds, and it'll be ready to go. Not that you want a microwave bread, but maybe a flour tortilla. Hey, come on. You know where I'm going with this. So a little butter on the flour tortilla, less than 20 seconds.
Or day-old bagels. You wrap a bagel in a damp water, paper towel, 20 seconds, good as new.
Ooh, he went State of the Food podcast again.
Oh, you guys really thought about it.
Well, this episode's already involving oranges, I mean, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oranges with not so much juice, right? Because
they had no juice. They had squeezed. No juice.
It was squeezed out.
We squeezed the pulp out of them.
Yeah, we literally, their heads went down. When you get scored on that quickly, you have to then spend the rest of the match fighting your ass with both hands. Mm-hmm. Because it takes you off your game immediately, because you go in with a mindset of what the X's and O's look like on the board before you went in, who's going to, I mean, like you had all of that in your head, Orange County. And then all of a sudden this, it's like, well, now what do? We have to play a goal down offense or a goal down defense. You know, this is them thinking. Now we have to transition everything. Everything changed for them. And it improved for us, because after that, we're on the front foot the rest of the game. We passed the ball. We had great possession. They did too, to their credit, you know, when they did do possession. But none of theirs worked out the way ours worked out. We are that team again after seeing this. It's like, oh, yeah, dust that magic off. The magic is back.
Oh, yeah, it's tough to be in that position too, right? It's happened to us before, maybe not 16 seconds in. Second, third, fourth minute, game scored against at home. And it's been really difficult to navigate that and overcome that, right? Because then you're like, oof, now you're in mode of like, I really got to go score. And psychologically, you're not there, right? And what I always say is soccer is a sport where your psychology really matters, right? And different situations in the game can make or break a player's mentality, right? And once that's broken, forget about it. It's really hard to tie a game, get back into it, and if anything, you just start seeing more goals against at that point. So it's kind of what happened here, basically, right? Because we get the goal early on, and then second goal comes in the 25th minute. Aldair Sanchez getting his first goal with Republic, and I'm really happy for him because he's tried before, right? He's had some shots, and he scored a really good goal. I hope this gets nominated for a goal of the week. Now, I do have to say, though, that I think it wasn't an intentional shot. The commentators, which I listened to, the local commentators, they thought the same thing too. And even though the goal is really awesome and it's great, it's one of those goals that it just worked out that he shot it and it went that way. I think that he meant to do something else. But again, no one was expecting that. Neither was he. And we got a good goal out of it too. I like to call those goals hammering the ball with your foot, kind of a goal, right? Because he did it and it just went above.
He hit it, you know, side outswinger, essentially, with the laces. And I think he was not intending to pound it into the ground and have it bounce up and over the keeper. I think he was intending to do like a knuckleball straight off into the goal. But he should have watched the ball all the way to his foot. I'm glad he didn't, because it did this weird thing off his foot instead. And we'll take it, because that opened his entire professional scoring account. And by the way, just prior to that, Jack Gurr magged a player, and that was beauty. That was beauty. Jack magged his defender to make the pass to Roro, who passed it back to Jack, and then got the ball over to Aldair in that funky, clunky goal. But we score weird ways. We'll take it.
This reminded me of the old school NES game, Nintendo World Cup. I mean, with how Aldair just hit that knuckleball against the ground, seeing how high arcing it went to the point where it was just out of reach, you know, for the goalkeeper. There was like no way that he would even be able to grab it. It just goes right in. I mean, this is just like playing as Cameroon and going against so many other teams in the Nintendo World Cup, just how arcadey that kick was. But you know what? It worked. And hopefully we may see some more of that. You know, maybe it works more of that in, so that way we could actually get to completing these finishing drives that we have in our attacking third. I mean, because that's something that we desperately need to work on. I mean, we have the opportunities, but they just end up sailing over or going wide. But, you know, maybe with just the right touch that Aldair used here, more of those knuckleball kicks can turn into goals for us. I mean, that was just a thing of beauty to watch, I got to say on that.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you mentioned that, Sharon, the play that builds up to the goal. Starts out with Russell spotting Roro open. Like, no one was marking Roro. He had all the time in the world to get to the ball, to figure out what am I going to do next, and then spots Jack. Jack gets to it, gives it back to Roro. I mean, plus the pass goes between the defender's legs. We all know how embarrassing that is when you're out there trying to be the defender. Roro gets open again, gives it back to Jack. I mean, just Jack and Roro really get each other. I mean, they've been playing for a few years now, but Jack knew what he had to do when he got the pass again. He was like, it's time to cross it. And who did we, was it me and maybe Sharon or Jared, one of you two, I think, pick Jack, me and Sharon as assist leader. Why did we pick this guy? Well, here you go. Here's an example of why we picked him as a being the overall.
Jack, or did I pick Nick? I thought I picked Nick.
No, you picked Jack. You picked Nick as... Oh, you actually didn't pick him as a backup. No, it was Jack, and then Jared picked Roro. And this is for our podcast winter dinner. So, yeah, there's one more. Maybe Jared doesn't want to see as much because he wants to see Roro get the assist. But hey, it was a 1-1 for this one. We both kind of like...
Worked for the first goal, didn't it? You know, picking Roro for the assist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one thing I want to point out is just Roro's speed, right? Like, as the games go on, it seems like he's looking like the Roro from, like, 2014. I'm just saying, I don't know what happened, but he's been working so great on his fitness.
He's faster. He is faster now than I think he was in 2014. 2014, he was like the massive, he was like a playmaker, and he was a good, he was a good field general in the middle of the field. I think he's actually faster now than he used to be, because he outran his defender to get that through ball from Jack, you know, that up back through thing. He passed it to Jack. Jack saw Roro taking off. The defender also tried to keep pace with Roro, and Roro got on the proper shoulder of the dude. He went to the right, to the correct side to receive a pass from Jack without traffic, and he beat his defender. That wasn't his strong suit way back when, but he's faster now, and I really got to give him, sing his praise. You know, you had mentioned earlier that you like Nick Ross and how he's kind of starting plays and, you know, things like that. He's such a quiet leader in that little pocket. It's pretty impressive to watch that. You know, it's very impressive to watch him be that quiet kind of redistributor of the ball, you know, breaking up play. Really got to hand it to him. I don't think he realizes that he's that guy, you know, but we see it. We see it. We definitely see it. Hey, I got to say, go back to Trevor Amon, whatever Rob McAllister pronounces it almost like almond.
Yeah.
So I have to remember that's But that's Rob McAllister. Everybody else says Trevor Armand. They put the accent at the end, but not Rob McAllister. We had this conversation at the last podcast. I realized that Trevor was playing with a certain joy. He was playing. He and Russell were playing so well off of each other during the match as the match went on. And I didn't see him get frustrated. Yeah, I mean, like if he missed something or whatever. And I didn't really see Russell getting too upset or frustrated. Yeah, if they missed a sitter, not a sitter, but you know, something that could have been in. But they were playing with joy. It's almost like we don't have our fans. They had a handful of our fans, but they don't, when they're not playing at home, it's almost like they're playing a little bit more carefree. And I like that. And I would tell each one of these guys, when you're at home, play with that same, don't put the weight of the 11,000 fans on your shoulder. Forget about us. Yeah, you love us, but you don't need us as a 12th man, obviously, with what you did in Orange County. I would just tell the team, don't stress. Play with joy when you're at home. Be a Luther. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. No, he's getting to that point. He needed the goals, right? But I would just say, as I said it a few weeks back, right? It's like, Trevor, if you don't get the goal, I hope you learned right. Like, don't let it bum you out, because everyone has their ups and downs. And look at him now, back on track, scoring for another second consecutive game as he started. So you just have to not like kick yourself around a lot. You know, what matters is that we win, even if you don't score, and you'll get the goals eventually, right? I mean, he understands the game well. And I'm glad that he plays well with Russell, what you mentioned earlier, because we rarely saw Luther play with Russell. It was like one or either who would be out on the pitch. Mm-hmm. Seeing both of them there, it's really great. Because initially, Trevor was the replacement. And I know we were a little bummed out. We still kind of are. I mean, like you said, Luther was always happy and he was always talking to us and all that. But man, this guy came in saying, like, I don't want to be the sub. I want to be the starter. And he 100% has earned that. And any player who comes to a new team, who's never played in championship before, right? Because he came from League One. Like, hats off to any player who is already like playing as if he's already in like MLS level. I mean, the way he's playing,
Trevor's gonna go far.
He's gonna go. Yeah. I mean, we don't want him to go, but he is gonna go if he keeps playing this way.
Yeah. So getting back to Aldair and this incredible goal and him go, you know, the USL did a really good story on him today. You know, from trialist last year to starting and actually doing really well. The dude has some wheels. He's got some skills. His confidence is up there. And now that he has a goal, you know, in the books, now he knows what that feels like. And that's addictive. And you want to do it again and again and again. And if you're the right kind of player, you will continually try to improve and you'll continue to seek those goals and those moments and those passes and, you know, that alertness, the 90 minutes of staying alert through the game. Like Jared Timmer mentioned prior to this game, Jared Timmer was like, we need to play focused we need a 90 minute game, not spurts of, you know, 10 minutes, you know, that kind of thing. You just focus for 90. This is your job. It comes down to 90 minutes on a weekend. So the team executed the 90 minutes worth of concentration and focus. And when they weren't, Mark subbed him off. Who was our first sub off? Oh no, we had an injury. Lee Desmond. Sorry. So that was unintentional. Sorry. You know, poor Lee. I felt bad for him, but yeah, I hope he's going to be okay. Oh my God. I hope he's going to be okay. Lee, if you're listening to this, please send us some subliminal message that you are going to be a-okay. You know, just please. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, after that, when Shane Wheat went on, which by the way, he did really well, I think it was Luis Felipe. I don't think he's 90 yet. Or yeah, I think he was one of the first ones off. Oh no, or was it Trevor?
No, it was Trevor and Russell got subbed out, and then we saw Kieran and Rafa get subbed in.
Oh, right. It was Russell.
It was in the 74.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Both of them, yeah. Which makes sense, right? I mean, like you said, they had a lot to do in the first half and late subs again. I always say, right, if we're winning, I don't mind late subs, right? I mean, if the players are still capable of being on the pitch, then let him be, but if we're losing, it's another story. But yeah,
that's right. It was Luis that pulled the first yellow. That's why his name is standing out. He pulled the first yellow and actually gave me a point. Thank you so much. I know we're going to talk about that here in a minute.
Luis Felipe going back at it, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, here we go again.
Right.
We know how the story ends. But, you know, one more thing I want to say about Aldair, like you mentioned, a great piece by the USL there. And what a motivation to any player who wants to go out to the open tryouts to know that you can make a difference. You could score a goal. You could be in that situation that Aldair is now. And I like to see that because, unfortunately, not all players are able to be in academies. We know the cost of academies. It's high for a lot of people. Right. I mean, it's not cheap to be on a traveling team, let alone to be on an academy team for a professional squad. So to see the team have the open tryouts and have a player that is standing out from them is really a big motivator to any player who's maybe considering going out there. And I might be wrong on this one. I mean, I know some of the recent names that we've had come out of the trials, they haven't really stood out as much that I'm going to venture out to say that Aldair has been the best player that we've gotten from open tryouts, right? Or can you guys think of someone else who you think maybe stands out more to you now?
When Ash was with us, I think he was too hot and cold. But Aldair is like Mr. Consistency. He will give you Starbucks exactly the way you want it every single time. State of the Food podcast coming back. But yeah, you know, it's kind of like when you know exactly what you're getting with Aldair. He is so consistent in what he does and what he's supposed to do and his job. And now, you know, I think he is one of the best. Besides Emre Clementa.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's Emre too. You're right. Yeah. And I think, just Emre. Yeah. I was going to say, like, did Tavo maybe also come through like that? Or
Tavo came through in a different way. Yeah. Tavo came through in a different way. I love Tavo. Oh, my God. East Con Chief. Oh, he was so good. But yeah, Emre, I think, is a bright spot. And he's doing really well for Las Vegas right now, right?
I would assume so, yeah. Huh?
No, he's doing well. They love him there.
They're doing better now, so I'm like, I wonder.
Las Vegas? Yes, absolutely. They are doing much better this year compared to years past. I mean, You've got to congratulate the new ownership on this. They have turned that sinking ship around in a big way. I mean, not just with the renovations of Cashman Field, but also the signings, except for Asante. But it's shown in the standings. They were at a 3-game winning streak at one point. So Las Vegas, they're not the ones to be shoved around anymore, from the looks of it.
Yeah, which, hey, you predicted it, right? So it seems like that might be a thing now. And it was long overdue, right? The Lights had to have a good season, or at least a season that'd be better than what they've had in past years. So glad things are looking a little better for them there. But that was that. I think in the game, we had more opportunities. This game could have even been a 4-0, right? Because we had more. And it looked like Championship Stadium was Hart Held Park for a second, without the crowd, of course, but only looking at the field, it looked like they were playing at home, and it was good. I mean, they're still in California, right? So it's like not a crazy travel. So I'm sure it was a relaxing and joyful traveling time there for the players. And now we move on back home next week, which I'm really happy about because I'll be able to go back to a game. And weather is looking like it's going to be good, but I hope I don't jinx it. But it's looking like we will get some sun, which will be great. So we don't have any conditions as the last game presented itself. Like you mentioned, Sharon, the ref had the situation. But sometimes when the weather isn't great, that lends itself to it too, right? So a player goes out for a tackle. They might slide more than they intended to because of the pitch. And it's all bad from there on and all that. But the team we're playing against, get ready, is a team that is traveling from the other side of the country, from Virginia, called the Loudoun United.
There you go.
He got it. He nailed it.
Loudoun.
Oh, I said Loudoun.
Yeah, you put the accent on the Don. I'm sure they don't mind.
Which used to formerly be DC United's affiliated team, right? But then after the two teams went out, that team, I believe, had been made a promise, I think, right? From the city, or the city had done something, right, Jared? And then they're now their own team, right?
Well, yeah, there was an ownership change because ultimately DC United wanted to get an expansion team in Baltimore as far as MLS Next Pro. But of course, they still had Loudoun as part of their ownership portfolio. So they sold off those rights. So now Loudoun's under independent ownership. That ends up working for DC United. So that way, I'm not sure if DC United is in the Open Cup or not, this would allow them to, because they no longer have ownership ties to Loudoun, you know, whole U.S. Open Cup rules stating that an MLS club and their own clubs cannot be in the same tournament. So, but as far as Loudoun goes, let's see, and I'm just trying to bring up the USL standings here. We know that the past couple years have not really been kind for Loudoun. I mean, especially last year. But right now, they're actually hanging tough so far in the early season. They're in seventh place in the Eastern Conference. So, I don't know. I mean, we can't really treat games as trap games anymore. I mean, we have to go full foot on the gas against everybody. There are no more easy games, just like Coach Briggs said a couple seasons ago. And that still holds true.
Yeah, the fact that they tied San Antonio, you know, early in the season, or was the first game of the season, they tied San Antonio. It's like, that's pretty major for an East Coast team to tie San Antonio, right? But, you know, they've also played last weekend, they played Lou City, and Lou City is just a freaking powerhouse, you know, and to come away with just a 1-0 loss at Lou City, or against Lou City came to Loudoun. I mean, that says a lot, because Lou City can literally wipe the floor with pretty much any team, except for hopefully us. So, yeah.
You pretty much ask Indy 11 how that went.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Indy 11. It was almost as though they didn't show up, you know, to have Lou City do that to Indy 11. But hopefully we don't take them lightly. You know, yeah, we know they're traveling from one side of the country to the other. And sometimes that has an effect on players. Actually, when you travel from the east to the west, it feels like you gain time, you know, because you're traveling with the sun. You're chasing the sunset, essentially. So let's just face it. It's bedtime by the time they play us.
Oh, they might be sleeping. Great. We might score in the
early internal little clocks. They're going to have to coffee up.
We'll score in the first minute again. Great, cool. Let's break the record now. Score in 10 seconds. Now, I will say, like, poor Loudoun United, too, because they not only have to travel down here, like, this Saturday. Well, 2 weeks later, they have to make the travel once again to California for the Open Cup to play against Orange County, right? They were that one team that was unfortunately not in the right, like, you know, like, draw. Like, it was weird. Yeah, I'm like,
They apologized profusely because of teams that couldn't host in the round of 16 if they won. So they had to host in the round of 32. And so poor Loudoun was just like stuck in a group.
Yeah, that was, I feel bad for them too, right? Because it was that one draw that was going to determine whether they would travel or not. And it's like, oof, they're going to be traveling to California quite a bit in these next 2 weeks.
And then they got to play Detroit City before that U.S. Open Cup match, especially with how hot Detroit City's been. I mean, with Danny Diccio coaching them, I mean, they are on fire. I mean, Detroit City is going to be the team to beat in the Eastern Conference. I mean, Lou City, they hold their own, but I'm sensing Detroit's going to easily be top two in the Eastern Conference this year at this rate.
Yeah, they're pretty much right there. They're actually tied with Louisville right now. Team actually one game in hand too, so they could be in first place, because Charleston Battery first has 8 games played, so, and Detroit only has 5 games played. Perfect record, right? 5-0-0 when you look at the standings there. Like, that's impressive. 5 wins and 5 games and only 4 goals against.
Yeah, Motor City is doing its thing.
Yeah, so that's that. But looking at the games after this Saturday, As we mentioned earlier, we traveled to Phoenix on May 4th. Then the Open Cup draw put us against Monterey Bay, but at home. That's May 7th during the week on a Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. So go get your tickets now if you haven't yet. Not the full stadium won't be open, only parts of the stadium, as is usual for us in the first Open Cup game. So keep that in mind. I know that there were a few season ticket members that were posting around the Sac Republic social media pages that they hadn't been offered their seats. And it's because of that reason, because they don't open the full stadium. So anyone who had a seat in a section that is not open was actually assigned somewhere else, right? Yeah. Or they got offered somewhere else.
Yeah, the east side is closed and VIP is closed. So the only sides that are open are west and the area around TVB, but not all of the TVB stands are open. So, yep.
Okay, yeah. So just so everyone knows, I think maybe the team should have maybe clarified that a little bit more, but when I saw people complaining there, I was like, wait, don't put it on the team. This is how they do it usually. For the next game, should we advance, if we do host, it should be a different story, I'm assuming there. But after that, we actually travel to the other side of the country, to Rhode Island on May 11th at 4:30 p.m. because it's, of course, Eastern time over there, to play against them for the first time. So we got quite a bit of traveling to do, right? Phoenix, back at home for the Cup. But then a few days later, get to the plane so we can travel to the other side of the country. But then we'll get two home games on May 25th against Birmingham Legion and then June 1st against Tampa Bay Rowdies. So they're going to get a break in between. It'll be worth the traveling there and maybe even possibly the following Open Cup game in between there if we advance. So, which we'll see if we would host at home. But either way, it would be a game that would be nearby, whether we travel to the Bay or it's at home. So wouldn't be crazy travel there for us. But overall in the standings, as we mentioned, first place, we are back there with 15 points. Second place is that Monterey Bay team that continues to just show that they're going to be a different team this year with 14 points. Then you got New Mexico with one game in hand, 13 points. So if they win, we could get first place knocked out. We could go back to second place. Again, it just depends on what goes on in their game that they have on hand. Then you got Uncle Ruckus FC, fourth place right there. And Orange County dropped down to fifth place. So they went from being in first to being in fifth. That's how close the top standings are right now with seven games played in the Western Conference. So it's going to be, I think, one of those seasons where we're going to go down to the last few weeks and not really know who's in the top five. I think everyone's going to be really close to each other there. Now, the reason behind that is because you look at the bottom of the table, you got a Memphis 901 with 3 points, El Paso with 2 points, and then Colorado Republic, which I don't even, you know what? I'm going to stop calling them Colorado Republic now because they're last place. They're Colorado Springs Switchbacks. 1 point in six games played. They finally got a point. They finally tied a game. But that's every week. You got to just like be like, what is going on with Colorado and El Paso?
Hey, Colorado Springs actually had a chance against Phoenix. I mean, they got a goal in, but it got waved off as offsides. I mean, had that stayed, that would have gotten them their first point against Phoenix. And of course, Phoenix this past weekend actually gave Pittsburgh their first win by losing 3-1. So Phoenix has got to be in WTF status at this point. The fact that they gave Pittsburgh, who is already having a hell of a season and not in a good way, they end up getting the lifeline handed to them by Phoenix Rising. So that's going to be interesting how the next couple weeks go, especially the fact that Republic FC are coming here to Arizona, and it'll be the first time in 10 or so years that I miss a Republic match out here. But yeah, I mean, I know some Rising FC fans locally. It's going to be a good one to watch. I'm definitely going to be tuning into ESPN Plus from Kilgore to watch it.
Yeah, now even though Phoenix has 7 points and 7 games played, let's remember the last season they were having a bad start, but then they had a crazy finish, right? And then we know how it all ended up as well. So even though a team might be down now, we know how this goes, right? you pick up in the second half of the season and before you know it, you're lifting the trophy. So anything can happen there. But from our perspective, things are good. We are the only team that is undefeated in the West. That's something else to point out.
Yep.
Which is not an easy thing to be in that select few. And then overall in the league-wise, there's only four teams, including Sacramento, that are undefeated.
But look who's biting at our butt. Look. Look. Yes. That is my scare. That is my worry, mm-hmm. is the team that's right behind us. I mean, like, right behind us.
Yeah, you've been saying it ever since the team got started, right? Ever since they announced that Frankie would be their coach, right?
That's right. Yeah, so. Right. Frankie, you know, there were times where he kind of took it lightly, took his job. I don't want to say he took it lightly. I don't think the squad believed in his tactics in certain situations. But I have a funny feeling Monterey Bay is all in. I don't know what he's doing with him. I don't know how all that works, but he has a charisma, you know, the same kind of charisma that Mark has. But I think Frankie has a different style of engagement. You know, he's mostly a jovial, happy. Mark is a very pensive. He's a thinker, and he's brilliant in a different way, if you know what I mean. So we shall see what happens. But this is going to be an interesting Open Cup. It's going to be a freaking battle when we get to that game. I'm not looking forward to it. I am looking forward to it, but I wish we were past it and having won, you know, because I'm that person. It's like, I don't want bad news. I just want to get past it and win, you know?
No, thankfully the draw favored us and we're able to be at home. But of course, Oakland could have been another possibility. Earthquakes could have been another one too, which would have been crazy to start your Open Cup run against the Earthquakes right away. Even though we know we can beat them. So
at the freaking bottom of the MLS, they tried to make a comeback yesterday against LA Galaxy. Right. And it was just like, it was the saddest thing to watch that match. It was so sad, you know, because they mounted a comeback and they couldn't, it was a high scoring game. It ended up being 4-3.
Mm.
Yeah. I almost would rather play San Jose.
Yeah. If they're doing that way, then of course, yeah, especially when we look at Monterey being in second place too. But as far as the previous round went, and as far as like teams that are here local, the game that had us tuned in, we were talking about it in the chat with all of our friends that we have on there, was the Oakland Roots against El Farolito, right? Also, El Farolito, the Burrito FC, and like all these names that people were like throwing out because they're owned by a chain of Mexican restaurants in the Bay Area, which, by the way, I got to go check out one of these times when I'm in the Bay, because it's so awesome that they have all this history and that they have a team. And not just that, but they have a team like El Farolito that, if you guys saw the match, they gave Oakland game. This was a team that beat Portland Timbers 2, Central Valley Fuego. And when you watch that match, it made sense why they got to where they got. And in fact, they really should have kept on going, because they were one man down for a full second half. They still managed to keep the game tied, take it to extra time. And even in extra time, there were moments where they could have tied the game even after Oakland had scored and after they had been leveled at 10, both sides. It was just a shame. But these players, I got to give props to them, because at no point did I see them get tired, where you might expect players that are in amateur teams to, you know, maybe even start feeling tired by the 60th, 70th minute, right? Because they're not used to that high intensity against a pro team like Oakland Roots, especially, I mean, they were basically almost at home because it's in the Bay Area as well. They play in San Francisco, but still just,
I agree.
Amazing run.
I 100% agree. I noticed the same thing, that the players felt fresh. They didn't look like they had their hands on their knees, you know, like some beer team, you know, mm-hmm. would have been. They were not that at all. They had game, like you said. They were so impressive. And, you know, some of their players are probably going to get picked up. If the players want to get picked up, they'll get picked up. They're going to get picked up at higher levels. You just know it, because they had all kinds of different playmakers. They had players that understood the game. They understood the tactics. It was pretty incredible.
Yeah, and that's what the Open Cup does, right? It's a place for players to make a name for themselves. And I mean, that's what happened with them. And it's also a place to see the funny moments, right? Like, I don't know if you guys saw the moment where the goalkeeper's number, I think, fell out and
yeah,
put a giant tape to make it seem like it was a one.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, that's how the Cup goes. And that's why we always want the Cup and why we were so mad at Don Garber and MLS trying to like mess things up with this and all that. But thankfully, I think it's even better what they did, because with the draw, there's not that many MLS teams. And guess what? MLS Next Pro, there's only one team.
I know.
All the teams took care of the other two teams. And I want to know, what do you guys think? Doesn't that make MLS look bad, right? As far as their two teams go, if like semi-pro teams all the way up to championship teams like knock their teams out?
Well, they were already looking bad given all the press that they were getting from November, December, January about basically doing everything to not represent their full teams in the U.S. Open Club or U.S. Open Cup. But now you have NYCFC 2. They're just on a string, just getting their way through the U.S. Open Cup. And you have all these MLS teams that are more than likely ready to make that quick exit just so they can focus on the rest of the season and the League's Cup and all that. But yeah, I mean, MLS, they're not going to be doing good this Open Cup. I can tell you that right now. You may have a couple teams that move forward. I would say they're going to bow out in the semifinals. I mean, that's my prediction right now. They're going to go as far as the round of four just to end up losing. And I say we're going to have USL versus USL for an Open Cup this year.
Listen to you, Mr. Bold Predictions. Too bad you don't live anywhere near Vegas.
Well, maybe that's
No. That ship has already sailed, especially a couple of years ago when I bet for us. No, I'm not losing another $240 some odd. No. Mm-mm. No.
Now, I will say that New York City FC 2 got the luck of the draw playing against Colorado, being in last. I'm like, oh, I hope that's the game that they like feel like, you know what, let's win that game. Let's not lose that one right now, lose against the last remaining Next Pro side. But yeah, I mean, what Jared says, I mean, it could end up happening, because when we look at the MLS team, it's not quite the Next Pro team, but I guess let's count the Next Pro team. There's nine.
They're going to get.
But they are going to, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're looking at eight MLS, like MLS first division teams.
Yeah.
Right. And some of the matchups, it's like, I could see some teams giving them game, like Memphis beating Dallas. Now, unfortunately, like, you know, Omaha against Kansas City, it's a little bit tougher, right? But we know Union Omaha, they're all about making history in the Open Cup, and I'm glad to see him there. But Charlotte Independence having to travel to Atlanta, it's going to be a little challenging. But the game I think everyone should watch, Seattle against Louisville City, that's going to be, I think that's my prediction, that's going to be the game of the round of 32. Because you're looking at some of the two best teams in their leagues who have been champions for a few times already. I wish the game would have been Louisville, but you know, it isn't Seattle. Hopefully it doesn't take a toll on Louisville, but that's going to be the game. That's almost the final in itself. I mean, it's a shame it's got to happen in the round of 32. It should have been like in the semifinal game, but not in this round.
Now, one question I do have for this round of 32, I mean, has there been any announcements as far as media? I mean, we don't know if these are either going to be on Galazzo or CBS Sports Network, Paramount Plus, ESPN Plus, or if they're just going to be streaming on the USOC website. I mean, I don't think I've seen any word on that yet.
Yeah, I don't think I have either. That's a good question. Yeah. But speaking of unsolved mysteries, we haven't had one yet. That is one there.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I know it's kind of short notice and all, but the whole media package for this year's Open Cup, aside from first, second, and third round, has been shrouded in secrecy. I mean, we don't really have a word yet as far as who's carrying the further rounds. All we've heard so far is that there will be further investment There'll be whole new sponsors. In fact, some rather high level sponsorship from what I understand. But as far as how we can tune into the round of 32, round of 16, we've not been privy to that information as of yet. And hopefully that changes soon, as quickly as the round of 32 is coming to us. I mean, it's literally a couple weeks away.
Yeah, now looking at like other MLS matchups, San Jose against Oakland. I mean, Oakland's not doing the best, but I think they can give them game, especially as Sharon says, San Jose's not doing good either. And then you got LAFC traveling to the Lights. Lights are doing better now. It's not the same team that would have been last year. Then you got Detroit City FC, the undefeated team, having to travel to Houston. But again, strong team, gonna give them game. And then you got a New Mexico United that's doing a lot better too. I mean, they're fighting to maybe be in first place if they win the game that they have in hand against the Real Salt Lake, but hosting them as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if only two MLS teams end up advancing to the next round based on what the matchups look like. So Jared's prediction could be true. That could end up happening. And I'm glad, you know, that MLS did not send all their teams. That's great. If we get a USL team to win the championship, if next year they decide to finally send all MLS teams as they have in all the other editions, go ahead and do that. But we can already say a USL team won it. So they're ruining their own prestige, right?
And this year, until they make decisions, this year it still is we get a berth in CONCACAF, right?
As far as I know, because technically MLS is playing their teams. I mean, maybe not all of them, but I would say enough that it should still stand that the winner gets the CONCACAF berth.
Yeah, they haven't pulled that one out. That has not been pulled off for this go-around.
For this one? I'm not too sure. Yeah, I think we'd have to, because I was wondering the same thing, but I haven't seen anywhere the information.
Well, with CONCACAF rules, if there were no teams playing from the top division, in this case MLS, then CONCACAF berth would have been off the table. But since we have at least a few that are in there, to my knowledge, that still qualifies. I mean, that's still on that table. So, yeah, I mean, we could have a USL team and the Champions Cup. I mean, probably the first time ever, if my history is correct, which most of the time it is, a lot, sometimes it's not, but.
Yeah, no, I think that's probably pretty accurate, I think.
This is so funny. This is going to get published, our podcast, right? And you know that Rian and Nick and John will correct us, and they have already done this research. We should text Rian and just say, hey, you know, we should just text him and ask him, because he knows the answer. He already knows this. And so does John, and probably so does Nick. Those guys, it's nice having them in the chat.
Yeah.
When this plays, they're probably going to be yelling this something like, yeah, no, there's been, you know, this is, or they may yell, yes. And, you know, I just know we're going to get those text messages. I'm going to get bombarded on Discord.
Yeah, exactly. Right. We're going to get a little 411 when we're all done with this. And for those of you who don't know what 411 was, on a rotary dial phone, when you needed information, you dialed 411.
Geez, at this point, we're going to bring out the popcorn phone number at this point.
Oh my God. Wait. You remember popcorn? I can't believe you remember popcorn.
What's that? Now I'm intrigued. I'm like, what?
Oh my God, we got to tell them what popcorn was. That's how you found out what time it was.
Yeah, you would actually, in Sacramento, you would actually dial the number itself, PopCorn, and you would hear the tone. The time will be 3:18.
It's so funny. These young people don't remember dialing popcorn.
Well, that's actually really creative. Yeah, having popcorn be the number.
Yeah.
But yeah, if they can confirm that for us, that would be great, because I've been trying to find it myself for a while just to see that. But the reason why I have a feeling that they might change it up a little bit is because MLS not taking it seriously. Because I feel like if there is a birth in the line, they would have, though.
They can't change horses in the middle of the stream. It has to be voted on and sanctioned, and we'd hear about it. So I think the U.S. Open Cup continues as is until next year when they have time to decide about MLS and la, la, la. I think it still is a thing. So we should end this conversation because we're going to get corrected. Someone is going to give us the right information as soon as it's published, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Some. Well, either way, either way, CONCACAF Champions Cup or not, we want a USL team to win.
Yeah.
Whether it let it be us or someone else, but that would be a good showing and just great to kick MLS out of that trophy hall for 1 year at least, right? But who knows? You win it 1 year, they're going to be motivated for the next year as well. So that's why I said, be warned, if they don't take their main teams, this could be a game changer in the history of the Open Cup. All right, so let's go ahead and move on to podcast winner dinner. I know it's not a topic that Sharon nor Jared want to talk about, but I do. So let's go ahead and get into it. There were not that many points given, but that is actually a good thing because we predicted that we wouldn't be getting a good result, right? Sharon, Jared, and well, Jared got a tie, which is better, of course, than the scores that me and Sharon gave. But if we take a look at the rest of the points, I guess Trevor is scoring the first goal and he came back giving points. He previously gave Sharon a point over in the Colorado game. So he delivered on it this time. And then for first assist, Jared guessed Roro for that, which gives him a point there, which is funny, right? You guessed Roro. You had him as your assist leader. I guess Jack, I have him as my assist leader. So looking like it's a trend sometimes, right? Because we want to get more points. But first yellow card was given to Zach, which means that Sharon and I get a point for that. So overall, Sharon got 1 point, Jared got 1 point, I got 2 points. And when we look at the standings, Sharon and Jared are now at 6 points, and I am at 11 points as it stands there. So
5 points is hard to make up, seriously. Even at this part, 5 points is going to be hard to make up.
Now, we do have the Open Cup against Monterey happening, but we'll be giving our predictions in the next episode. We're going to give a double predictions, or we might just do one, depends if we record another podcast in between there. But it means that there's more points. And as we know with Open Cup is the opportunity to get even more points because we're going to have the assist versus assist as well included on there, as well as the final score as we have now, who's going to score first yellow, and extra time, yes or no. That's the one that can give you an easy point. Unless they decide to take it extra time and then you just lost out on an easy point. Quote unquote easy, right? But it is Monterey, so anything can happen in that game. But for now, we're going to leave that game till the following week because we are going to predict for next Saturday's game against Loudoun United here. So we were going to do a proxy. We are going to do a proxy. But Jared and I forgot about it, even though I was the one who mentioned proxies. But we've actually decided that Jared and I will be posting our predictions on Sacramento Soccer Fans on Facebook. That is our group. If you haven't joined, check it out. But Sharon actually did her homework and actually has her proxy prediction here. So Sharon, go ahead and let us know what your proxy lets you know.
Thank you, Mike. Mike McAnachy is my proxy because he was the only one who raised his hand in the chat who said that he was willing to be my proxy. I appreciate you. Okay, so he has Russell the Sacramento Treat, I love it, as the goal scorer, and his backup of all things is Luis Felipe. Never saw that one coming. And then the assist is the boss, Nick Ross, which is my nickname for him too. Thank you so much, Mike, for like having my theme. And then the first team to get a yellow is Sac. 2-1 Sacramento.
Thank you to our proxies also for helping us with this too. And we're going to be doing proxies more than we did last season. So this is just the first one of the season, but we're going to have more. So you might be the next person that we send a message to asking you if you want to be our proxy and help us as we try to make a run for the podcast winner dinner trophy that is currently in Sharon's shelves, but will hopefully be in my shelves once again.
Yeah, right. So I just have to give a shout out to Rian and Nick and John. You guys get ready because I'm going to be using you. Rian, you're next up for Sharon. Hot. claimed him. Woo!
Any last final parting words, Sharon Jerd, before we say goodnight and see you guys on Saturday? You're going to the game?
NWSL is in full swing, and go Republic.
And a quick history note for some of the fans that may celebrate this past Saturday's holiday like I do as well. We are undefeated on April 20th. We first beat Central Valley Fuego in the Open Cup on 420 back in 2022. And of course, last Saturday's 2-0 win against Orange County. So this may be our new lucky holiday. Well, at least for me. At least for me anyway. And go Republic.
Well, as for me, as always, whenever we have home games, make it out to the game if you get a chance. Get your tickets early. And, you know, just that, let's fill the stadium up. We have better weather. We should not have the same attendance we had at the last game. That was understandably so, because no one knew if it was going to rain or what was the situation going on there. But all should be different. And make it out to the tailgating if you can. Whether you park there or not, even if you don't park, you can still go out there, park in the regular parking lot, and then make your way out there. Go say hi to Sharon, because she's always there. And the rest of the people that we reference here on the podcast, go meet people, go meet the people that we mentioned here. If you're someone who doesn't know that many people at the stadium, then go make some friends. And trust me, it's a whole different universe when you know people and when you feel like you're going to a family gathering and everyone knows you there. So that's a perfect spot. So awesome. Y'all have a good morning or good night whenever you might be listening to us. And you'll hear us next week here on State of the Republic podcast.
Sign in to sacsoccerpod.com and cue the music.
I think Sharon's about to tell us that the cat's going to make an appearance, right?
Any second now. There's a tail.
Oh, we could hear it in the microphone. There you go.
Yeah, the cat the cat has officially arrived. One of them. One of them. There it is. In all of his glory.
Of course, they were like, you have to make an appearance. They need more blooper content or just post music.
Yes, so far there's nothing going on in the background, but I'm not watching, and that's Jared's job.
Oh, yeah.